Good morning. It is my joy and privilege to share with you this morning. If you've got your Bibles, why don't you turn with me to Joshua chapter 6. Joshua chapter 6, which my Bible titles The Fall of Jericho. And just for context, if you're not familiar with the story of Joshua, Moses has passed away. Joshua has taken leadership of the Israelites. And in chapter 1, God gives Joshua the encouragement, be strong and courageous, for I will be with you wherever you go. I don't know if that's a word for someone this morning. Be strong and courageous, for the Lord will be with you wherever you go. And so they leave the place that they were and they head towards the promised land. God miraculously stops the flow of the River Jordan, and they're able to cross over, and now they're camped in a place called Gilgal, about 2 miles from the city of Jericho. And that's where we pick the story up here. Joshua 6, 1 through 5 says this. Now the gates of Jericho were securely barred because of the Israelites. No one went out, no one came in. Then the Lord said to Joshua, see, I have delivered Jericho into your hands, along with its king and fighting men. March around the city once with all the armed men. Do this for 6 days. Have 7 priests carry 7 trumpets of ram's horns in front of the ark. On the 7th day, march around the city 7 times with the priests blowing the trumpets. When you hear them sound a long blast on the trumpets, have the whole army give a loud shout. Then the walls of the city will collapse and the army will go in. Everyone straight in. The rest of the chapter documents how God did exactly what he said he would do, that as after they'd marched round and as the trumpets blew and as the shout went out, the walls fell down. The fall of Jericho. Does anyone remember a song from the 90s called The Power? Yeah. I've got the power. Anyone remember? Come on, don't lie to me now. Come on. The Power. I'm not doing that again. That's the extent of my musical talent. In 2011, a 39-story shopping center in South Korea had to be evacuated. One day, suddenly, people on the top floors, people that were shopping, they felt the walls start to shake. They felt the floor started to vibrate. The room started to move, and no one knew what was going on. And so they evacuated this 39-story shopping center for safety concerns. After the event, engineers rushed to the scene to try and identify what had happened. And after doing all the maths and the mechanics on it and trying to figure out what had happened, they were finally able to identify the culprit. On July the 5th, 2011, an exercise class on the 12th floor of this 39-story shopping center decided to get together for an extra go hard exercise class where they jumped and danced and exercised to The Power. It just so happened that the frequency or the rhythm of The Power matched the resonant frequency of the building. And so as the people jumped in time to the beat, as the sound of the music resonated through the building, it caused shoppers on the 39th floor or the top floors to experience movement 10 times that of what they were used to. Wow. The power of a resonant sound. You see, it's interesting that we see the effects of resonance, of a resonant sound in the natural, but how encouraging is it to consider the resonant sound of our worship in a spiritual sense? When we as a congregation lift up a sound of worship that resonates with the hearts of believers throughout the world to bless the heart of God and make the kingdom of darkness tremble, there is power in a resonant sound of worship. When our hearts join together in unity, resonating with the sound of giving Jesus, our King, the glory. I want to ask us today, on the back of what Cookie is, he challenged us on the condition of our heart. I want to ask us today, what is the sound of our worship as a church? So as we continue this journey of looking what it means to worship in spirit and in truth, I believe the story of Jericho reveals some helpful truths for us about the sound of our worship. First of all, notice that our worship is the sound of faith. I love the details that were given in those verses we read there. The gates of Jericho were securely barred because of the Israelites. No one went in, no one came out. I love that because it paints the picture of impossibility. That this was not possible by human hands alone. This needed divine intervention. The gates of Jericho were securely barred. They'd fortified it even more because the Israelites were near. Interestingly enough, if you search online, archaeological digs of the site of Jericho reveal that the city was a two-tiered city with a wall at each tier. So essentially, it was a doubly tiered city. And historians tell us that it was one of, if not the most, fortified city in all of Canaan. Yet now God says to the Israelites, see, I have delivered Jericho into your hands. So as the trumpets blew and as the shout went up, it was the sound of faith that God would do what he said he would do. Hebrews confirms this for us in Hebrews chapter 11, that famous chapter on faith. The writer says, by faith, the walls of Jericho fell after the army had marched around them for 7 days. Friends, our worship is the sound of faith. Faith that if God said it, the walls will fall. What might be too hard for you and I to even imagine is not too hard for God. That what's impossible for you and I is not impossible for God. And God leads them to this point, to this fortified city with secured gates, because it would develop in the Israelites the absolute importance to have absolute dependence on God, of learning to trust God, of learning to walk with God, abiding in God. You see, the Apostle Paul tells us that the weapons we fight with are not the weapons of this world. On the contrary, he says, they have divine power to demolish strongholds. Wow, that's a powerful statement. On the contrary, they have the power to demolish strongholds. Our battles are best fought in obedience and in faith to a faithful God. And if God said it, the walls will fall. So as the trumpets blew and as the shout went out, it was the sound of faith. I'm convinced there will be times in all of our lives where we'll have to learn completely to put our trust in God, to put our dependence fully on him. Can you imagine walking around the city for 7 days and there's not even a brick has fallen? There's not even a crack showing. And as they lifted up, as the trumpets blew and as the shout went out, there would have been a few moments, I don't know how long, between the shout starting and then the walls falling. And as I think about that, it leaves something to be said about the challenge that we must have the faith to worship while we wait. The faith to worship while we wait. How did the song say it before? I forgot. I was going to say this, but I added the thought there. In the mystery, in the storm, we're singing something about singing in a storm. Much more elegant than that. Worship while we wait. It's a powerful challenge. The faith to worship while we wait. Years ago, I went through a rough season of having panic attacks. I remember I had my first one and I didn't know what it was at first, and I thought that was kind of the end of it. And then as the months went on, it began to get more frequent and the panic attacks kept coming and coming. and coming. And I remember feeling quite hopeless. I remember I'd get up to work in the morning. I used to work in Leeds and have this long train journey. And I used to be filled with dread of, is today, am I going to have a panic attack today? Is it going to happen today? I felt hopeless. And because I was going through this, I kind of felt like a second-class Christian, thinking, I'm struggling with this. Something must be wrong with me. And I just want to say, if anyone else is going through a similar situation, that's a lie from the enemy. You're not a second-class citizen. God never said that we would be trouble-free life, but he did say he'd be with us through it. And so as I was going through this incredibly difficult time, quite anxious, difficult to kind of get through it, God in his grace allowed me. I felt God drawing me nearer to him. That I was driven to my knees in prayer, driven to my knees in worship. I was drawn to his word to know God for who he is, to learn more about him, to get to know him. And in the mornings on my train journeys, I just used to put in my earphones and I used to get the worship music blasting. And yeah, I found comfort in the words. But as I began to listen and have these words, these truths of God washing over my mind as I on my way to work, began to fill me again with an awe and wonder at who he is. And my heart once again began to resonate with the sound of faith. It was during that time that I learned that faith is more than a feeling. Faith is more than thinking happy thoughts. And even though I was going through a storm, I got to know the one who can calm the storm, the one who can speak to the waves, and the one who can walk on water, Jesus Christ. You see, in this world, we will have trouble. But take heart, Jesus said, for I have overcome the world. I think people are always looking for what they can build their lives upon. What can they trust? People don't want something that just sounds good. People don't want something catchy. They want something concrete. And as the body of Christ has been building for centuries and centuries, it's because it's been built on the solid rock of Jesus Christ. God put it like this in Isaiah. Speaking through the prophet Isaiah, God said this: as the rain and the snow come down from heaven and do not return without providing seed for the sower and bread for the eater, so is my word that goes out from my mouth. It will not return to me void, but will accomplish the purpose for which it was sent. We can build our lives on God and his word. God's word is reliable. And as the trumpets blew, and as the shout went out, it was the sound of faith that God would do what he said he would do. What about you this morning? Is there a step of faith, a step of obedience that you're about to take that seems intimidating? Is there a fortress that you believe in God to bring the walls down for? Is there a circumstance that it feels like you've been walking around the fortress for years in prayer? You see, I don't know if anyone is going through a rough time, a challenging time at the moment, and I don't want to try and simplify anyone's struggles. I can't even imagine the pain that many of us can be going through, but can I encourage you? Don't give up. Yeah. Keep going. Yeah. Keep walking in obedience. Keep worshiping in faith. Keep doing the right thing, for at the proper time, we will reap a harvest if we do not give up. You don't need big faith. You don't need great faith. In fact, Jesus said, with just faith the size of a mustard seed, we can move mountains. Because it's never about the strength of our faith, it's always about the object of our faith, God Almighty, Jesus Christ. Our worship is the sound of faith. Following that, we see that worship is the sound of praise. This is what Joshua 6, 8 through 9 says. It says, when Joshua had spoken to the people, the seven priests carrying the seven trumpets before the Lord went forward blowing their trumpets. The ark of the Lord followed them. The armed guard marched ahead of the priests who blew the trumpets, and the rear guard followed the ark. All this time the trumpets were sounding. It's interesting, if you just in your own time read more of that chapter It's interesting how many times the Ark of the Lord or the Ark of the Covenant is mentioned in such a short space of time. In fact, in the 10 verses between verse 4 and verse 13, the Ark of the Covenant is referenced 10 times. It just keeps repeating. The Ark of the Covenant was a sacred article that symbolized the presence of God and highlighted the fact that God was with them in the midst of their marching. His involvement was central to all that we're doing. Right from the start of this mission, God gave the Israelites gave God the place of honor, the place of the central place in their life amongst their ranks. They made him the focal point of all they did, and it resulted in the trumpets blowing and the shouts coming out. And so as the trumpets blew and as the shout went out, it was the sound of faith. The Bible is filled with shouts. Did I say faith? Praise. The Bible is filled with shouts of praise in response to knowing God, in response to being close to God and having him at the center of our lives. Psalm 95 says this: let us shout aloud to the rock of our salvation. Let us come before him with thanksgiving and extol him with music and song. Psalm 100 says, shout for joy to the Lord, all the earth. Worship the Lord with gladness. And Ezra 3 says, as the people, they gave a great shout of praise to the Lord because the foundation of the house of the Lord was laid. Our worship is the sound of praise. Remember, Jesus said that out of the overflow of the heart, the mouth speaks. And in all of these instances and in the story of Jericho that we're reading, it seems to indicate that as we come to know God for ourselves, as we make him center of our lives, and as he does a work in us, the most suitable response is praise, worship, adoration. To say it another way, the natural response to a supernatural work of God is praise. Some years ago, there was a couple called John and Elaine. They'd just finished Bible college, and they got their donkeys and canoes and headed into southern Mexico, into the rural tribes there, and they began missionary amongst a native indigenous tribe called the Chol indigenous group of South Mexico. They worked there for 25 years along with other Wycliffe Bible translators, and they translated the New Testament for them into the native language of the Chol people. For 25 years they spent there, yeah, translating the New Testament. In recent years, and these figures are from, the article I was reading through was 2014, so I hope they're still up to date, if not better. But in recent years, the Chol Christian community is said to be thriving now with over 12,000 believers in this people group. But what was fascinating was that when the missionaries first came, they reported that the Chol people did not know how to sing, or singing was very rare. But they said that when the gospel came to them, the believers became known as the singers. Somewhere where singing was rarely heard or never heard, now flooded with the sound of praise. Out of nowhere, they started singing, though they had never sung before. And I think it's a powerful demonstration of Psalm 40, which says, he set my feet on a rock, gave me a firm place to stand, and he put a new song in my mouth, a hymn of praise towards God. Blessed is the one who makes the Lord his trust. The natural response to a supernatural working of God is praise. Our worship is the sound of praise when we know who he is and when we give him his rightful place. I think it echoes what John Andrews challenged us with a few weeks ago when he said that worship is never about place, but it's about posture of the heart, about coming to him with reverence, like Cookie talked about before, with that reverence, with a love, a humility, with an awe and wonder at who he is. But speaking from experience, sometimes it's easy to lose that heart of worship. Sometimes it's easy to see worship as just a song and go through the motions Sunday to Sunday. Many of you will have heard of Matt Redman, the famous singer, worship leader. He writes about a time in his kind of worship career as he was him and his church, they would be worshiping. They had the best lights, they had the best sound, they created an unbelievable atmosphere, they had the greatest musical talent on the stage. But as a leadership team, they felt something was missing. It stopped feeling like worship, it started feeling like performance. In fact, in their own words, they said that their people had become connoisseurs of worship. They just liked turning up and seeing who was singing. And if the favourite singer was singing, they'd be happy. And if they sung the favourite songs, they'd be happy. And they'd become connoisseurs of worship. So what they decided to do as a leadership team is they got rid of the worship team. So for a period of time, I don't know how long it was, they came on a Sunday without any without any singers on the stage. And they would come just to gather as a people to get back to that heart of worship. They said at first it was quite awkward. People didn't really know what to do. And then after a few weeks went by, finally people would begin singing out of a hearts that resonate with the sound of worship. You see, and then after that experience, as he reflected on that, Matt Redman then wrote that song that said, "I'm coming back to the heart of worship. And it's all about you. It's all about you, Jesus." You see, sometimes the act of realigning our hearts for true worship to God can be an uncomfortable process. It's no wonder the Bible sometimes calls it a sacrifice of praise. Romans says it like this: "Therefore, I urge you, brothers and sisters, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to Him. This is your true and proper worship." To borrow Joshua's words from Joshua chapter 3, he says to the people, "Consecrate yourselves, for tomorrow the Lord will do amazing things among you." Consecration sounds like quite a religious word, but essentially it means to prepare our hearts and minds for what God is wanting to do, to set ourselves apart, to fix our eyes on Jesus, to throw off the weights and the sin that can so easily entangle and run after God with a perseverance and a reverence. What about you this morning? Is Jesus the center of our lives? Does he have that place of honor in our hearts, in our work life, in our family life? What's the biggest competitor to Jesus in your heart? In the same way that radios have to adjust their resonant frequency so they can clearly receive frequencies from different radio stations, so by this word consecration, are we challenged to adjust and to retune our hearts to resonate with his, to walk with him, to journey with him, to allow him to speak to us and to change our hearts, for us to know him, the beauty of who he is and the awesomeness of who he is. As we draw near to God and we see him for who he really is, then from the overflow of our hearts comes a sound of praise, a sound of thanksgiving, a sound of adoration. Our worship is the sound of faith. Our worship is the sound of praise. And finally, our worship is the sound of freedom. One of the beautiful threads in the book of Joshua is the story of Rahab. We're first introduced to Rahab in chapter 2. Joshua sends 2 spies into the land of Canaan to spy out the land. They come to Jericho, they get through the walls, and they take residence at Rahab's house. She's introduced to us as Rahab the prostitute. She keeps them safe. She protects them as the king of Jericho comes looking for them. She sends the Jericho guards to her in a different direction so that the spies can remain safe. And in conversation with the spies, it's a fascinating conversation, because though she is in this people, the walls of in the city of Jericho, opposed to God, she comes out with some bold statements of faith. She says, "I know that the Lord has given you this land. We have heard how the Lord dried up the water of the Red Sea. For the Lord your God is God in heaven above and earth below. Now then, please swear to me by the Lord that you will show kindness to my family because I have shown kindness to you." All we know at this point is that she is not an Israelite. All we know is she's living in a city opposed to God. And she's labeled as Rahab the prostitute. But as she gets a revelation of who God is, she comes before the 2 spies and not only declares some bold statements of faith, but she acts in faith by hiding the spies and asking for mercy. So as the trumpets blew and the shout went out and the walls fell down, Rahab's house was the only house that remained standing. Then the Bible says that the Israelites brought her into their people and she lived among them. The amazing thing is, this isn't the last we hear of Rahab in the Bible. She appears in the New Testament 3 times. Now this is going to encourage you, just listen to this. So in James, she is commended for her faith in action. In Hebrews, she's listed among the heroes of faith for what she did. And then Matthew tells us how her story continues. As Rahab was brought into the people of God, Matthew documents this. It says she married a person called Salmon. They had a son called Boaz. Boaz married a lady called Ruth. They had a son called Obed. Obed was the father of Jesse, and Jesse was the father of King David. Incredibly, Rahab the prostitute, Rahab who was living among a people who were opposed to God, is now listed in the genealogical records, not only of David, but of Jesus Christ. What a beautiful story that is. She is adopted into the family of God, not by natural descent, but by the will of God. What a beautiful story that is, if the band would like to come back up. You see, God is quick to give mercy when we ask for it. God extended his mercy to Rahab just like he's extended his mercy to me and you. Because all who call on the name of the Lord will be saved. Our past sins are washed away in the blood of Jesus and become trophies of the grace of God. We are grafted into his family as sons and daughters, and in him the old is gone and the new has come. In him we have a hope and a future. In him we find redemption and forgiveness of sins. You see, as the trumpets blew and as the shout went out, to the Israelites, it was the sound of faith. To the Israelites, it was the sound of praise. But to Rahab, it was the sound of freedom. There was North Carolina, there was a military base. I know one or two of you will have heard me share this before. There's a military base that they built, and its airstrip went parallel to a motorway. And this military base would do a lot of, the Air Force would do a lot of drills there. And as you know, with some of these aircrafts that they get in, the sound, the speeds that they can hit, the sounds create incredible roars across the skies. And as they break the sound barrier, sometimes you can get these sonic booms that are frightening. And people on the motorways, as they were driving, they'd hear these sounds and they'd be shaken up and get them agitated. And so this military base got a lot of complaints coming in. And so the way of dealing with all of these complaints, to put a stop to getting all these complaints, is they put a sign outside the military base so as the people driving past on the motorway could read it. And the sign simply said this. It said, "Pardon our noise. It's the sound of freedom." Pardon our noise. It's the sound of freedom. And as we hear that, how much more fitting is that for our corporate worship as the body of Christ? Thank you, God, for your goodness. Thank you, God, for your grace. Thank you, God, for your mercy. Thank you, Lord, for redemption. Thank you, Lord, for your forgiveness of sins. Thank you, God, that we have peace in the storm. Thank you, God, that you've given us a spirit of praise for a garment for a heaviness. Thank you, Lord, that you've given us oil of joy instead of mourning. Thank you, God, that you've given us a spirit of praise instead of a spirit of despair. Thank you, God, that you provided a job when we needed that job. Thank you, God, for healing when we needed healing. Thank you, God, for protection when we needed protection. Pardon our noise. It's the sound of freedom. What are you thankful for this morning, church? What's the overflow of your heart? How did God get your attention to show that he loved you? Pardon our noise. It's the sound of freedom. Our worship is powerful.
Not only is worship the natural response to all that God and what he's done, but we know that God is looking for people that worship him in spirit and in truth. Jericho is the story of God's faithfulness to his people, to his word. It's interesting that we see the effects of a resonant sound in the natural as we looked at the start, but how encouraging is it to consider the effects of a resonant sound of worship in a spiritual sense, when we as a congregation lift up a sound of worship that resonates with the hearts of brothers and sisters all over the world, with a sound that wants to bless the heart of God, and it makes the kingdom of darkness tremble. So if we looked at the story of Jericho, I'm sure you'll agree we've learned some helpful truths about the sound of our worship. Our worship is the sound of faith. Our worship is the sound of praise. And our worship is the sound of freedom. Let's pray. Lord God, we just come to you this morning, Father God, on Pentecost Sunday. So grateful, Lord, for all that you've done. That through Jesus Christ, Lord, we are found in you, that you want to live in and through us, Father God. We are adopted into your family and made sons and daughters of the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. God, this morning, would you hear the cry of your people, Lord, as many of us going through different struggles, Father God, we just put our trust fully on you. We leave it right at the feet of you. We lift up because we know that you're a God who hears us, who cares for us, and we can cast our anxieties upon you. God, you are a miracle working God. You're the God who answers prayer. God, will you help us in this time of need and deliver us? Lord, we reach to you in faith, Father, because you are good, your love endures forever, and your faithfulness continues through all generations. God, for those of us that are struggling to get back to that sound of praise, God, we just pray that you'd help us in this time to realign our hearts to yours, Father. God, show us the beauty, the wonder, the glory of who you are, and meet us where we are. And God, as we consider those words that the weapons of our warfare are divine to tear down strongholds, Lord, we just speak to the strongholds in this room even now, Father God, strongholds of addictions, Lord, strongholds of grief, strongholds of sadness, strongholds of anxiety. And in the name of Jesus, Lord, we just call out to them and say, God, would you let the walls fall down? Strongholds of a hardened heart, strongholds of things opposed and set up against you, Father God, in the name of Jesus, Lord. We want to see your kingdom come and your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And so as a people, Lord, we lift up a shout of praise to you because you are good. We worship you. You're worthy of praise. You're awesome, great and greatly to be praised. And in Jesus' name, we give you all the thanks and all the praise and all the glory. In Jesus' name, amen.